And then with Jimmy Briggs, he came down and met him. He laughed over that note. And he said, you know, everybody want to know what that note, and I told him my girlfriend wrote to him. And I kept that note for a long time, he said. For a long, long time. I don't know, he said, I don't know whatever happened to it. No, I just gave him, I said, whoever the nice-looking boy gets, whoever the nice, handsome boy finds this note, don't forget to write, good luck. And I put my name in that, that's all I said.
That's wonderful. And he came to see you.
Uh-huh. And he came, and they brought him wounded from Water Canal. And he was in the hospital at San Diego. And after he got a leave, and he got tracked me down here. He wrote to me first, and I answered back. And I said, oh, I was glad that he was back, you know, nothing happened to him. And he says, that baby took us and baby brought us back, that's what he said. And I met the man. Very nice looking fellow, very tall, real nice gentleman. He was married, he was a very nice gentleman. He came and he said, someday if I ever went to Tennessee, I think it was, be sure and look him up. Because his family would really like to meet me. And I just lost track of him. And then afterwards, I did send him and his wife and family fruit. You know, like dry fruit. I shipped it to him. That was the last time. I didn't, and then I never wrote to him no more. But that was a gift I sent for the whole family. I didn't know how many kids he had, but I just for the family.
That's a nice story.
Yeah. That was it. That was never no more. My dad would say, you know, that wasn't bad and passed away yet. My dad said, you know, I knew I had a daughter. I didn't know she was crazy.
If you could summarize what working at Douglas during the war meant to you in terms of how it affected your life, could you tell me that?
It never affected me. It never did. Because before, I was more like a family home, home person. My hobby was housekeeping. Not that my mother let me do it, but I always wanted to do housekeeping. Maybe because my folks wouldn't let me do it. Have a pretty yard, and, you know, as hard as I worked, neighbors in Hawaiian Garden continue to this day. But Saturdays and Sundays, I get up early in the morning, and I take Mama to church, and I go to my church. Now, we'd come home, her and I, when we didn't go no place, if we didn't have the money to go, because we were saving money for property tax. We work in the yard, her and I. I'd get on top of those trees and trim them and put them pretty so the house would look nice. I always try to have the yard pretty, the house slick. My daughter would call us inner sanctum because she says, we can't sit here and we can't sit there. Well, I had beautiful furniture. Most of it's antique. My living room, I had it. I got it within storage right now in Hawaiian Garden. Provincial. I still have beautiful furniture storage. I was telling my daughter this morning, I was about like selling it. Beautiful antique china. My mother's oak table. We kept everything. My mother taught us not to destroy things. And her furniture were given to me. And I took care of it. And I just worship. I fixed my kitchen just how long and I would like to have it. I had beautiful cupboards, beautiful china. Not that you can touch it and it just got that little ring. I have dishes, I can show you right from up there right now. The cut glass, heavy stuff. I'll just give you my table, I always like to have, but my kids always said I was too fussy. But I love beautiful silverware, I love the silver. My dishes had to be all set china. Tablecloth, my table. And after I got through with the tablecloth, I've had a table crocheted or embroidery, and right in the center of the table with my food, my antique dishes. And I washed them so they wouldn't be broken. But they were my mother's left care. I still got to take care. She got dishes that she brought me from Mexico. It belonged to her great-great-great-grandma, and they were Indian, and they were made out of adobe. And they're so heavy that you would think it's iron, but they're that real heavy adobe. But a lot of people would pay me a lot. I have an antique clock right now. She got in the bedroom. I want to put it here in the kitchen, but my son-in-law said no, because the heat of the kitchen might ruin it. He's going to put it in the hallway. And it has a chime, and it rings an hour and a half hour. It was germinated. I love beautiful things. I work hard for them. And I love to get stuff. On Sundays, I like to put on a dress to go to church. I respect a church, regardless of what church it is. I like my high heel shoes. I like my hat, my clothes. And there's a lot of places when I buy my shoes, gloves, and hat, they ask me if I'm from back east. I said, no, I'm from California. He said, well, how come you don't wear slacks? I said, oh, not on Saturdays and Sundays. I said, I'm a lady like on Saturdays and Sundays. And my mother always made me and her would always wear aprons, all iron, starched. All our clothes were starched. Our pillowcases were starched. Everything is old-fashioned, like I say, but beautiful. I got trunks right now full of embroidery stuff and crochet that anybody would give me anything for. So I wouldn't get rid of.
Do you think you would have been able to have as many nice things if you had not worked at Douglas?
No. That's one place I really got paid good. And I learned how to save money. I bought my things and I saved money. But it all went into doctors since I started getting sick. Because insurance don't pay everything. I didn't work there because in the field they wouldn't give you nothing. And I don't have the education to work in the office. If I had to, I guess I would have went to school to get a grade. But I never had the chance. I had my mother, and then I had my dad. And then I had my children to raise, and I wanted the best for them. But then when my kids were getting raised, I had good times. We went bicycle riding, skating. I enjoyed the weekends when I was with them. I knew it was selfish. I wanted to get the best for everything, for my mother, especially for my mother. To this day, I go over there, and if I see her slacks, I kind of I'll get rid of those. I'll go down the store and buy her some more. I come and shorten them up for her, sew them, iron them, take them to her. I say she's old. She needs love right now. She done everything she could for so many of us. My responsibility is to see that she's clean. I go there, I tell the beauty operator, you keep her clean, give her her nails, haircut, permit. I said, just send me the bill, I'll pay for it. I go and see her clean, I feel good. But I like cleanness. Maybe because we've been so poor, which I said, we were very, very poor. My dad was a good-looking man, liquor and women. His money went. Mama is all she did. She do is just cry. I never heard her raise her voice or nothing. A lot of times I would say, if I was you, my mother left him a long time ago. And my mother said, oh, you loud mouth. I said, I don't see how you can take it. After I started getting big and I started working, seeing what was going on, I didn't know until one day I went to a dance. Holly Sugar Company was making it, and I was invited from one of the workers. And it just happened I had to be there when my dad came in with different women. And he looked at me and said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm doing the same thing you are. And who else brought you here? I said, I was invited. I had an invitation to come here. I said, who's the young lady? She said, how would my mom would feel? I said, right on front of her. Her face got red, but my dad said, I'll talk to you later. I said, oh, yeah. You go home now? I said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm going to finish dancing. He went out, and he didn't say, I said, that it was all over. I never told my mother. I didn't want no trouble. I never told her. Well, my brother saw a lot of things, too, but they never said nothing to them. We kept it to ourselves. She was this type of a woman, like in Mexico. That's what she says. You marry for good, regardless. Well, not me. I couldn't see that. I always said, if you take the high road, I'll take the low road. Then I had a wonderful life. Even if I did work hard at Douglas, I enjoyed my work, I enjoyed the people. To this day, I hunt for them. I go to the union hall, I talk to the union over there, to all the old people there. I join the senior citizens, I become the president of the senior citizens.
I'd like you, Dave, to tell me about your involvement since you've been retired.
I didn't intend to be involved in this deal here. My daughter was the one that bugged me. You've been working around people all the time and sitting here watching four walls is not going to work. Mourning and crying over grandmas is not going to work. She said, why don't you join the senior citizen? Well, I joined the senior citizen. We had one lady there that mistreated the American and Mexican people. This lady, I guess sometime or other, had a lot of money and bossed a lot. So we went on a trip. It bugged me. A lot of times it bugged me. I wouldn't say nothing.
Her attitude
towards the American and Mexicans. A lot of American girl ladies. I can take it right now and show them to you in person and introduce you to them. How she must treat it then. So we went to a Palm Springs trip. We were out there, and I couldn't go up the hill because I noticed right away my heart. I didn't know I had heart trouble, but I noticed my heart was feeling kind of funny. I told one of the girls, I said, Lorraine Bacchus. I said, I'm not going up there, are you? She said, no. I said, I got high blood pressure. I said, how about you, Lupin? She said, no, I can't go up there. Excuse me. I said, go up there.
You were telling me how you got involved with the senior citizens.
Well, they bugged me. First, I went to join the senior citizens with Florine Derby. For a while, everything was real good. Then, all of a sudden, she started telling everybody, why don't you speak English? You're American. And one day I told her, I said, Florine, I said, I hate to interfere, but there are a lot of these Spanish women that their children went overseas and stayed over there, and they cannot speak English. It's not their fault. I said, they're not hurting nobody. They're just speaking in Spanish because they can't speak English. All they ask right now. She told me one time, she says, why come you're talking right now? And I said, Florine, I'm talking because this lady does not understand, and I'm translating what you're saying in Spanish to this lady, what you just got through saying. Well, she said, you can shut up and wait until you guys get through. I said, all right, Florine. So then when they want to go to, a lot of them would have to have an appointment with a doctor. When you're under a county or the welfare, you have to have that appointment with that doctor. You're going to be there. So she wanted everybody to put their hand and ask in front of everybody, may I be excused to go to the doctor? Now, that's silly. So I didn't say nothing. So it kept on going. So why did we went to this trip? And we were over there sitting down, Lorraine, Loop, and I, a few other American ladies, which I didn't know, there were some other clubs. She comes and says, Lupe, you've been in the United States for all your life, how come you're not a citizen? Lupe says, what did you say, Lorraine? How come you're not a citizen? Then she says, well, she said, it's just that my husband was a citizen, and I always thought that it being him a citizen, I wasn't a citizen. Like, when I wasn't educated here, she said, I was educated here, she said, but then we Spanish people go by the rule of the old-fashioned ways. So we always thought that if the man was an American citizen, he was an American citizen. So I just let it go at that, and then my husband died. I'm old, My sons went overseas and came back. I have grandsons in the police force right now in Los Angeles. He says, I think they're good citizens, and I am too, even if I am not American, says. He says, I've never been involved in police or anything like that. He says, I've never been in welfare. I never asked the county to help me. She says, what I'm drawing right now is the retirement of my husband, pension. He says, she says, and I don't ask nobody for nothing. She, so I said, Lenny, why don't you leave her alone? I said, by the way, I said, especially right here in front of all the people. I said, that's very, very rude. I said, I'll talk to you when we get over there. She said, I said, okay. Coming home, another Spanish lady said, what happened over there, Alicia? Why does Lupe feel so bad and so quiet? I said, well, I said, she said she was insulted. I said, and, she said, tell her not to feel so bad. I've been insulted so many times. She said, don't bother me no more. I said, oh, so I didn't say nothing. So we went to the meeting. Nobody knew about this. Not even this vice president of mine. Nobody. We were all in the meeting. So I put my hand up and I said, Florine, I resign. I got up and walked out. Before you knew it, I had everybody at the meeting walked out. Americans and Mexicans. There's only, I think, four from Lakewood was left. Okay. So, I was in the hospital, Sarita, Woodruff. I had to get more calls and more calls. And the nurse said, my goodness, is that phone of yours? I said, well, I said, before you know it, I have the room full. The nurse says, what's this, a meeting? I said, hey, okay, just come to see me. They're senior citizens. But I didn't tell what it was all about. So, please be a president. You're the only one that can be a president because you got property in Hawaiian Gardens. And he said, you was born and raised in Hawaiian Gardens. Alicia says, we know you since you was a little kid. He says, we're old, we need you. I said, oh, Lord. I said, I don't even have an education. I said, how do you want me to be a president? If you had an education to work at Douglas and be around people, you got an education to tell us what's going on and what for aging, and you can go in the meetings and find out and come and tell us. But we want you. I said, okay. But you have to back me up. I said, I don't want no fighting, no misunderstanding if I be a president. Right now, I got 91 persons in my club. We have a meeting. We have I ordered. We do our salute the flag. We pray. Then we tell them about who one of our members are sick, and roll the all sign for who's in the president. Present at that time, then we decide what we're going to do next day, what kind of trips they want to do, what they want to do. So one day one of them comes and says, we want to learn how to do ceramics. I said, okay. Okay, I said, here I go again. I said, but you're going to back me up now. I'll go up there and talk to Myers, and I'll talk to Alan Ward and Nancy. I said, and ask them what you want. I said, but you have to, if you ask for that, you have to do it now. I said, I want you to back out on me. Well, right now we have so many people on ceramics that we have to make four classes. So yesterday, the day before yesterday, says, Alicia, would you go and tell, we want a trip. I said, well, there's a trip going on right now. Nuh-uh. She said, that's Florine's trip. We don't want to go with her. I said, oh? I said, what happened? Well, she says, well, we went to TJ with her. He says, I landed in the hospital because they were smoking so bad that it hurt my lungs. He said, I got asthma. And another man said, I've been sick ever since. So I said, well, what do you want? He said, we want to go to the mission. I said, okay, good. I went over there and made a trip for him for Friday. Now I can't go Friday because I got to go to this other meeting. Excuse me. So, then they asked me, well, we want a trip with TJ. I said, well, haven't you had enough trips to go to Las Vegas? Well, we don't want to go to Las Vegas no more. We want to go to TJ. I said, okay. Cool. I had a list of 49 persons who want to go to TJ. I said, Mr. Myers, I said, I hate to bother you again. He said, oh, no, not you again. That's the mayor. He said, not you again, Alicia. He knows me since I was a kid, too. And I said, yep. I said, I got a list here that people want to go to TJ. And they figure that they pay tax and they're property owners here. And why should the ones from Lakewood come to get involved and not the ones from Hawaiian Gardens? I said, all right, tell them you can get the trip. I go back. I said, you guys got your trip now. You guys better fill up that bus and go. I said, you coming with us? I said, well, if I can, I'll go. And if I can't, I can't. I said, I don't feel too hot. Oh, no, you're a president. Okay, we're all going to go. So then they started bugging me about Florian doing this and Florian doing that. Right? I said, okay, if I go and talk to this lawyer now, you have to back me up. I said, you can't just push me and then leave me behind. I said, uh-uh. He says, okay. So I just had a call. He already had an answer from Washington. He wrote that I told him that we all belong, her and I belong to the National Counselors, and she is registered as Aloha Hawaiian Garden. Why is she using our name to go on trips and use the money of Hawaiian Garden? Which is, he said, well, that's federal money. Certainly. I said, we can't refuse a senior citizen. But why should she come in and bring the people out of Hawaiian Garden when the Lakewood has their people and their federal money? Why can't they use that money over there for them and leave these poor other old poor people that can't speak English and let them have a little good time? I said, they don't have nobody to back them up. Why? Their son stayed overseas. I said, I can point you a lot of them. I said, I can go right now and show you one that's sitting in a wheelchair. His arms are cut off. His legs are frozen in Canary Islands. I said, and you need to tell me that those people are not entitled to that? So anyway, I talked to everybody. Before you do it, they said, Alicia's coming back to Hawaiian Gardens. Well, I had the MORE program, which I showed you the letter, that I got all the people back to the MORE program. I have 92 or 93 persons right now at my club, which we're having a Spanish dinner the first Saturday of March, which we already invited the mayor, the councilman, the people that backed us up on this club. And I'm proud of all the people.
And it keeps you real busy.
Well, no, because, like I say, I'm sick, and I'm not driving much. Mm-hmm. There's a buzz. I do a lot of talking on the phone and visit on the phone, and I get the people like that to go to the MORE program.
Now, the MORE program is a meal.
Yeah. Hot meal, a nice hot meal for them. It's really good. They pay, but they enjoy it, and we sit there and visit. I'll laugh, and I'll love them and hug them and kiss them, all the old people. I don't know what they are. They're everybody. I don't care what they are. They're colored, so if you don't know what they are. They're all my boyfriends. And if they don't go on a trip, I'll say, for that, another date dropped me off. And they'll laugh, and the women enjoys me, and they all hugging me and kissing me and laughing. And we talk and we joke. Time goes by. We have a wonderful time.
What do you think about, what do you think about the future?
My future is to be a good citizen, to forget about being sick, to just look ahead. I don't think about the back or what's coming ahead. I just, tomorrow's tomorrow. Nothing bothers me. I get nervous once in a while, but it's not a kind of, it's going to be an earthquake or heat. I've been so many earthquakes, it don't bother me no more. I've never been to a cyclone. That's one thing I have never been to. But rain, floods, and all that, I've been in them. I've been in a flood in 33, which I thought we'd never get out of that town. That was in Merced. It got so flooded, the town was all flooded. It rained, and it was during depression time. And that's when we were coming from San Francisco. And things like that don't bother me. But what really bothered me once in a while is I think about, what if we come to another depression, everybody in credit? Everybody got so much credit. when the bank closes up like they did in the 20s, what are the people going to do? These beautiful, I started thinking, look at those beautiful homes. There'd be all left there like they did during Depression. All those people are going to go back home where they can farm, where they can make a living. There'll be no aircrafts, no cars. What are people going to do? That's what I think. For me, I don't care. I pass that time. My time, when my time comes, I'm going to go. And I was born and raised here, so it don't bother me at all. But I started thinking about all that money those poor people, like now that, and then I started thinking, these young kids get married, all that. Where can they get that money for a house? To raise a family, how can they do it? They can't do it. And then I look and I said, when I was a kid, we had a place to play and run. A kid can't go across the street because they're trespassing. A kid can't pick up a paper because he's already stealing. A kid can't say no because it's certainly the peace. What can those kids do? Why are they in trouble? For that reason. There's no place to go. They close the school grounds at 5 o'clock, I think it is. They can't go to the school grounds and play no more. So they get nervous, they get excited, they break windows, they do something to get attention. Because when we were kids, we played out in the street. We ran down the fields. We knew what we should do. Whether we would cross the sugar beets, we would be jumping the row so we wouldn't kick the sugar beets. They wouldn't bother us. They wouldn't say, you're disturbing. Now the kid can't do nothing. The houses are so close that you can hear the neighbor go to the bathroom. But years ago, we had a holler or whistle. I remember when we were kids, we'd whistle to know whether we were going to go to a show on Saturday. My brother would whistle, and that other, way on the other side of town, the other side of Cyprus, the other whistle would come. We knew we'd get together over my mother's, over my house, and we'd all get into a Model T and go down to Downey to the show. And then my mother would make popcorn and put in big bags for us, and we'd go to the show with popcorn. Mm-hmm. Now those kids can't do that. We used to walk to Seal Beach, go to the beach, go swimming, walk home, nobody about us. What kid can do that? They don't have enough money to go to a show. If you go to a show, it costs you a dollar. There's nothing for them to do. The only thing they got, that's the reason my daughter's involved in the Little League. To have her, she was involved with her son when he was in the Little League. And then her daughter, she's involved now, she's a manager of the Little League, to be involved, to be with her daughter. Mm-hmm. They have something to do. Now they're always having a bake sale or having something so they can take them out to an entertainment. If they win the ball game, my daughter and my son-in-law get together, and the fathers of the little girls, and they chip in, they take them to a pizza, and have pizza, or whatever, or ham, McDonald's, because they love McDonald's. I always give them some entertainment, so they won't get involved. So at this house here, it's all day long, a bunch of kids after school, and delivering kids after the ball game. That's every night, practice. During the summer, she has a summer league, and during the winter, she has a winter league. And she's always, and then on vacation, she takes her child and with them. She never leaves them alone, never left the kids alone, not her. She always pays a babysitter. And now that I've been here with her and been sick, why, she always sees that somebody's with her. Or she goes on vacation, she'll make telephone calls to check up on me. Or call, if I don't answer the phone, she'll call the neighborhood to come and check and see if I'm all right. I don't have nothing in my hand. Nothing for the future. What have I got? I always had a foot in the grave and don't know it. Because I won't give up. Here, the day I had that heart attack, I had been in the banquet. I was introduced to the Chamber of Commerce made this banquet for me. And I had been too many meetings. And I came home. I went to bed. At 1 o'clock I had the heart attack. I think it was too much excitement. Mm. But not because I was working or anything like that, because the party that took me, her husband drove. I didn't do no drive. Because I come right down to it, I am afraid of driving kind of my heart. But for instance, if I have to go to a meeting and kind of a club, I'll go